Thanks so much, Pastor David. Well, it is great to be here with all of you this morning at Northern Community Church of Christ. And I also want to take the opportunity to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands upon which I sit today. I sit here as a Waka Waka woman who grew up on Gubbi Gubbi country and am now residing on the lands of the Gadigal peoples. And I also pay my respects and acknowledge the traditional custodians where Northside Community, sorry, Northern Community Church of Christ is on Wurundjeri country. And I pay my respects to the elders past, present, and future. And in this time where we gather virtually, it's been a wonderful opportunity because people sit on many different lands to actually really acknowledge those over 300 nations of Aboriginal peoples in these lands that we now call Australia. And so I pay my respects to many different countries and to all the elders of all those Aboriginal nations. And so I'm here today to help us respond to today's issue of racism through current wisdom and engaging with the biblical narrative, with the hope to lead to practical life application. So where to start? Well, firstly, my first time coming to a church and speaking in a church like what I'm doing here with Northern Community, I generally wouldn't start with a sermon on racism. I'd usually start with wanting to really get to know each other, inviting you to take the Aboriginal hand of friendship and helping you to know and to love your Aboriginal neighbour as I extend love back to you. But alas, we find ourselves in the year 2020, and so we're diving right in. We're still going to cover all of those things, but we're diving right in at the deep end of friendship from our very first meeting here today. And so that Aboriginal hand of friendship is extended to you today, even as we cover this topic of racism. And so I guess let's start right here, the year 2020. You know, I've prayed for the day that Australia would wake up to racism and start to do the justice work needed to bring an end to racism. It's been a dream my whole life. I became a Christian at the age of 21 back in 2001, and since then, it's been a prayer my whole life. But with the historical knowledge of racism, and in particular the racism against Aboriginal peoples, the knowledge of racism passed down through my own family's generations, my great-grandmother, my nan, and my mum, and the knowledge of the racism I have experienced myself, I was worried I would never see the day that racism was openly talked about in Australia, let alone people start to talk the language of being an anti-racist. And let's not be too generous on where we are as a country, as Australia right now. Whilst every sermon and talk I have said over the last 8 years of being an Aboriginal Christian leader, and that's when I became a pastor, an Aboriginal pastor in 2012. This is actually my very first invitation from a church to actually bring a message on racism. And so, why do we find ourselves here in these lands now called Australia in 2020? And I've been invited to a church to speak on racism. Sadly, the answer to that question is that it was not the 2015 incident where Aboriginal actor Uncle Jack Charles, after being awarded Senior Victorian Australian of the Year, was denied a taxi ride because of his race. Sadly, it was not the Aboriginal death in custody of Tanya Day in December 2017. Sadly, it was not the racist incident in Mildura in December 2019 that coined the #TooStrongForYouKaren. We're talking about different Karens today, but back in 2019, Aboriginal people were talking about #TooStrongForYouKaren. These are all incidents that happened right there where the place that you call home in the lands now called Victoria, and only in the last few years. But I wonder, have you heard about them? And so, what led Australia to this point here in 2020? It was the death in the lands now called the United States of America, the death of African American man George Floyd. George Floyd died on my 40th birthday. It took the death of another, this is another African American, on a foreign shore for non-Indigenous Australia to pay attention and to join the global Black Lives Matter movement and start to look at how Black Lives Matter in these lands now called Australia. But the question actually is, has non-Indigenous Australia just looked and turned up to one protest, or have they woken up and committed to staying awake? I pray that Australians stay awake. I pray in particular that non-Indigenous Australian Christians stay awake. In the face of a global pandemic and the global Black Lives Matter movement, many people have described the current times as turbulent or disrupted. But for me as an Aboriginal person, these have been turbulent times for 250 years. And so let's look at another recent incident when you could have woken up. When we first had the first cases of COVID-19 in Australia and the restrictions started to come in across the states and territories, the state and territory governments and federal government identified certain vulnerable groups. I wonder if you remember who they are, and I pray dearly for all of you there in Melbourne, as I do for the rest of the nation at the moment, but as you come to terms with this second wave of COVID-19. And so probably these have started to come back into public discussion. Who were the vulnerable groups? It was anyone over the age of 70, anyone with chronic illness over the age of 60. And who was the third group? I wonder if you can recall now. It was Indigenous peoples over a certain age. I wonder if you can remember what that age was. It was Indigenous peoples over the age of 50. This spoke directly to the lack of closing the gap. The reality that in these lands now called Australia, we die 11 to 17 years younger than the non-Indigenous population. All three of these vulnerable groups were spoken about together in many press conferences, but as I began speaking to small groups of Christians, I asked them, had they heard? And they had heard the first two, but somehow Indigenous people over 50 had not registered, even though it was said in the same sentence, they hadn't heard it. I often talk about a spiritual blindness and a spiritual deafness that extends right across these lands now called Australia. Somehow Aboriginal peoples become invisible. And so we need to look at the lack of justice for Aboriginal peoples as a spiritual issue. And that's why it's so important for Australian Christians and the Australian Church to tackle racism and to love their Aboriginal neighbours. It was W.E.H. Stanner in his, he was a white male anthropologist, and in his 1968 Boyer lecture titled The Great Australian Silence. I wonder if you knew where that term came from, Stanner's 1968 Boyer lecture. And he argued there was a cult of forgetfulness practiced on a national scale. A cult of forgetfulness practiced on a national scale. If you're looking to go further in some of these concepts, you might be interested in, and I've got a resources page that we'll put up at the end of the service. But I recently had my paper published, a theological paper, Reconciliation Without Repentance and the Politics and Theology of Postponement of Indigenous Peoples' Justice. And also my 2018 annual Tinsley Lecture, Reclaiming Community, Mission, Church and Aboriginal Wisdom. Or my 2016 speech, My Dream for the Australian Church, where I actually talked about my experiences of racism in the Australian Church in light of what was happening to Adam Goods at the time. And so there are some ways that you can go further if you want to start to look at this cult of forgetfulness and what this means for all of us today. But I was struck a few years ago when Reverend Dr. Eleni Poulos, a former National Director of Uniting Justice here in Australia, said, and she was one of the first Christians to actually come out and say it. And I asked other denominations to make similar statements, and they wouldn't. They said that they wouldn't make these statements. This is what she said. Racism is a sin, a denial of human dignity that erodes trust in society, We must do all we can as a society to rid ourselves of bigotry and prejudice. Today we've read Galatians 3:26-28. And at the time that we spent at the table reflecting and using Galatians 3:26-28, it was used in a beautiful way, and if only all Christians would use it in this way. Because on the surface, it looks like an amazing passage of scripture to speak to anti-racism. But sadly, my experience has been the opposite with Galatians 3:26-28. This passage of scripture has often been used back at me when I've spoken about the level of injustice Aboriginal peoples face, including the ongoing historical injustices of stolen land, stolen wages, and stolen generations. All of these injustices have been bound up in racist government policies over decade after decade, after two centuries. Christians have said to me, whether to try and call me a liar, as they have disbelieved the true history or the present day outcomes, like the lack of closing the gap or my lived reality of racism. They've said that there's no need to do anything because, Brooke, we're all one in Christ Jesus. In a mixed up way, in many non-Indigenous people's minds and teachings, when we come to believe in Jesus, we have equality. So Aboriginal peoples should stop complaining. Racism is a sin, a denial of human dignity that erodes trust in society. For these lands now called Australia, we do turn back to the 29th of April 1770, where for us as Aboriginal peoples can be the beginning of that denial of human dignity. If you read Cook's journals, and whenever I use these historical documents, I always go back to the original source documents and the actual journals. And I've shortened this quote from Cook's journal on the 29th of April, 1770, when he came to the shores of Kurnell, the lands of the Gweegal peoples. And this is what he wrote as to what happened. We saw as we came in several of the natives with a few huts, men, women, and children. As we approached the shore, they all made off, except two men. I thought that they had beckoned to us to come ashore, but in this we were mistaken. I fired a musket between the two, which had no other effect than to make them retire back, where bundles of their darts lay, and one of them took up a stone and threw it at us, which caused my firing a second musket. And although the shot struck the man, it had no other effect. I then fired a third shot. But whilst referred to as men, women, and children, the response on first seeing Aboriginal peoples was to shoot us. Genesis 1:26-27 explains for us that all human beings are equally created in the image and likeness of God. But 250 years ago, Aboriginal peoples were not afforded this equality. 250 years later, one could argue we are still not afforded this equality. Racism is a sin, a denial of human dignity that erodes trust in society. Uncle Jack Charles, who I spoke of earlier, the great Aboriginal actor and the 2015 Senior Victorian Australian of the Year, when he was talking about Aboriginal people, said this: "Australia is a unique country. It's peculiar from my observation, peculiarly racist against us. You have to know this. If you don't know it, I don't know why you don't know it now." Has Australia really dealt with the fact that even with fair skin, I am a black fella in this country? The peculiar racism that Aboriginal peoples face. Some days it feels like we're not too far removed from the quote in the Sydney Herald in 1838, as published in John Harris's One Blood, when describing Aboriginal peoples. "They are the most degenerate, despicable, and brutal race of beings in existence, and stand, as it were, in scorn to shame creation, a scoff and jest upon humanity. They are insensible to every tie which binds man to its God." How do we think of these quotes that have happened throughout our history in light of Genesis 1:26-27? Racism is a sin, a denial of human dignity that erodes trust in society. And when we think back to Uncle Jack Charles's quote about the peculiar racism that Aboriginal people face, we are the world's oldest living, continuing cultures. One of the things I often say is that that is a gift to Australia. It's actually a gift to the world, but sadly, it's a gift that's often waiting to be embraced. In 2014, Beyond Blue did incredible work. They had a campaign called The Invisible Discriminator, Stop, Think, Respect, looking at racism and discrimination of Aboriginal peoples. And if you haven't seen the short video, it's on YouTube. It's The Invisible Discriminator, Stop, Think, Respect by Beyond Blue. I encourage you to go and look it up on YouTube. And Beyond Blue in the Invisible Discriminator ad showed real stories, the stories of racism happening to my friends, my family, my community. And just some of their research found these statistics. One in two non-Indigenous Australians have witnessed discrimination towards Aboriginal peoples. One in two would not say something or intervene if they encountered or witnessed an act of discrimination. One in five admitted that they would discriminate in some situations. One in five admitted they would move away if an Aboriginal person sat next to them or near them. One in five admitted they would watch the actions of an Aboriginal person in a retail environment. One in 10 would tell racist jokes about Aboriginal peoples. One in 10 would not hire an Aboriginal person for a job. One in three believe Aboriginal peoples are sometimes a bit lazy. Almost half believed Aboriginal peoples were given unfair advantages by the government. We get nothing for free from the government. That's one of the truths we need to start telling. One in five believe that terms used to describe Aboriginal people that are now considered racist are not that bad. And one in five believe it is hard to treat Aboriginal peoples the same way as everyone else. To me, these views on discrimination and displaying racism are everyday life in this country. And sadly, it's everyday life in the lives of many Australian Christians and practiced in the Australian church. But the other scary thing about this research was that it was the cohort that was researched were non-Indigenous Australians aged 25 to 44 years old, some of our younger generations. But before 2020, the research and my lived experience was that on average, an Aboriginal person experienced racism 3 times a week. In the wake of the global Black Lives Matter movement, I'm actually experiencing racism 20 times a day on social media. Somehow, it has given many people much more courage to be openly racist. And let us not forget the Australian Constitution, a document described as the founding document of Australia, the birth certificate of Australia. I'm not sure how, as Christians, we deal with those terms when Creator God created all the lands and waters when we go back to the very beginning of Genesis 1. But not only does the Australian Constitution not recognise Aboriginal peoples, nor include an Aboriginal voice to Parliament, it has been condemned as a racist constitution by the United Nations. Just read Section 25. I wonder if I say Section 25, does that mean anything to anyone? Still there in Australia's constitution today, in 2020, it says any state can ban any race of people from voting. That's not just something that should be looked at in light of Aboriginal peoples, that's only ever been used against us. But that is for every race and every person's cultural background here in these lands now called Australia. And so, as I said before, I pray non-Indigenous Australians stay awake, but maybe many still need to wake up. Bruce Pascoe's book, Dark Emu, has done much to wake up and help to re-educate non-Indigenous Australians. And if I could change two things to help with racism, it would be for people to stop saying, but you can't be Aboriginal, as they try to quantify what percentage Aboriginal I am. And to stop saying we were nomadic hunter-gatherers, uncivilized, and we would be nothing without European invasion. As Bruce Pascoe says, the start of the journey is to allow the knowledge that Aboriginal people did build houses, did cultivate and irrigate crops, did sew clothes, and were not hapless wanderers across the soil, mere hunter-gatherers. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people were intervening in the productivity of this country, and what has been learnt during that process over many thousands of years will be useful to us today. To deny Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander agricultural and spiritual achievement is the single greatest impediment to intercultural understanding and perhaps to Australian moral well-being and economic prosperity. I want you to look at the map of the Aboriginal nations. Hopefully we'll have that there on the screen and you can see that. And I wonder if all of you have seen this map before. Hopefully you have, but usually when I say it, there's at least one person who's never seen this map before. And it's not perfect as a map. It's one of the best representations that we have, but particularly one of the limitations, if you look around Brisbane, it only names the Yuggera peoples. It doesn't name the Turrbal peoples. And not all the 300 nations are represented on this map. But I want you to look at this map of the Aboriginal nations in these lands now called Australia. And not to just look at this as a geographical map, but to envisage all of the peoples. I want you to envisage that before 1788, there were over 1 million Aboriginal peoples right across these lands now called Australia. That's a population we still have not recovered to in 2020. And just to think for a moment, today we are 2.8% of the Australian population as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. We were once 100% of the Australian population. And I want you to keep looking at this image while I read these words. After this, I saw a large crowd with more people than could be counted. They were from every race, tribe, nation, and language, and they stood before the throne and before the Lamb. If you think this has been a history lesson that I've taken us on, you haven't listened deeply. You see, God has seen all and experienced all that has gone on in the last 250 years. But God has seen all and been part of all in these lands now called Australia since time immemorial. And so often in the Australian church, we miss the examples in our own country, in Australia. We step over our Aboriginal brother and sister to reach our overseas neighbour. We diminish the rich history and culture we have here on our very shores in search of someone else's culture. We value multiculturalism over celebrating Aboriginal peoples and the multiculturalism that existed for over 65,000 years or 6,000 years since time immemorial. And if white Australians cannot get things right with Aboriginal peoples, the first peoples who God placed here, how can we expect to get things right with anyone else from a non-white culture? But as I look around this Zoom room at Northern Community, my heart sings. I look around a Zoom room that is filled with cultural diversity. This is not a reflection in many other churches right across this country. And so I commend you, Northern Community, and I pray that you dig deeper with each other to learn your cultural stories, including those who came to these shores 250 years ago. What is your cultural story? Martin Luther King Jr. has long been an inspiration to me, and I learned his I Have a Dream speech off by heart when I was in year 12 at high school. And in modern history, we studied the American Civil Rights Movement. But sadly, I didn't learn in school of our own Aboriginal civil rights leaders. And as I read out their names, I wonder how many of them you know, and I encourage you to listen to the name. And if you don't know their story, please go and learn their story. So our own Aboriginal civil rights leaders like Bennelong, Barangaroo, Pemulwuy, William Cooper, Sir Pastor Doug Nicholls, Pearl Gibbs, Vincent Lingiari, Ujuru Noonuckle, Mum Shirl, Charlie Perkins, and that's just to name a few. And sadly, it was not until 2012, after 12 years of being a Christian, that I learnt and met incredible Aboriginal Christian leaders like Auntie Jean Phillips, Uncle Reverend Graham Paulson, Uncle Ray Minicon, and that was through the Grass Tree Gathering. But when I learnt I Have a Dream, the I Have a Dream speech of Martin Luther King Jr. off by heart, I heard these words, and I still hear them today in 2020. I pray your heart hears them too. I still live in Australia where I struggle to not be judged by the colour of my skin, but by the content of my character, particularly in the church. I still live in an Australia that has not been able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood and sisterhood. I still live in an Australia where I await the day we, you and I, join together in hope and faith, where we work, pray, and struggle together as Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal peoples in these lands now called Australia, where we stand up for freedom together, where we allow freedom ring and we join hands and sing, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Often it is the one truth, the one reframe, the one story that you are away from clearly seeing your place in the struggle, the path before you, and the call on your heart. I pray that you follow the way of Jesus, that you see the unity and diversity of Revelation 7:9 and Galatians 3:26 to 28. And in that unity and diversity, you don't see oneness as sameness, but as peoples of all shades of color, created in the image and likeness of God, with recognition of human dignity. I also pray that it isn't just an individual thing, that this starts to be practiced and seen and displayed in community. We're called to be people of community. I pray that you and we see brothers and sisters who we love, indeed whom we are called to love, and in love we find dignity, justice, and freedom. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Thank you.
Thanks, Brooke. Really appreciate you leading us in that time. Did you want to just take us through this next slide, which is the response of just some different questions and just lead us in that, and then some music will be played after that. Thanks.
So, a few questions to help us reflect today, to really start to think about our practical responses to the message. So, have you ever witnessed racism? Did you act or did you stay silent? How will you answer that prayer of mine to stay awake to the injustice and racism, that peculiar racism, facing Aboriginal peoples? And what might your prayer be regarding racism?
Thanks, Brooke. We're going to have some music played, and my encouragement is that as we reflect on those questions, we might allow God to continue to speak to us and as we respond.